Hazel's going to read from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 17.
God disciplines his sons. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's unpack that a bit, hopefully. And Hebrews 12, three words came to my mind, really. There were discipline, peace, and repentance. You could draw a lot of other words out of the passage, of course, but those were the three that came to my mind this afternoon. I'm going to deal with the first two this evening for next Sunday. So, discipline and peace. Let's note verse 1. We're encouraged to throw off everything that hinders, such as what hinders us in our walk with Jesus. What hinders us? I'm going to leave that as a rhetorical question, I think. Let that hang a moment and just chance to think, what hinders us in our walk with Jesus? I think we'll actually come back to it a little later on. So throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So we've got a picture of an athlete here. I'm sure we've all seen the Olympic Games and other such events. Well, I suppose increasingly as the years have gone by, everything that hinders has been thrown off and there's not a lot left on sometimes. But even then, at these times, the athletes in the original Olympics used to actually run naked, I believe. And they threw off everything that they thought might hinder their progress and ran with perseverance. You know, that's to just get to the end of a race and break a tape. Well, we're to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the tape. He's the goal of our run, our race. If we're going to race successfully, like any athlete, we need discipline. Now, verses 4 to 11 actually talks of discipline in the context of the family relationship, the children being disciplined by the father. What a good thing that is, it says. I noted verse 5, actually. You've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Notice what the encouragement is, that you are going to submit to discipline. Some people might not think of that as very encouraging, but in fact it is, because that discipline is necessary to train us up in the way that we are to go. Those verses in 5 and 6 there are actually quite a direct quotation from Proverbs 3:11-12. Don't take God's discipline lightly. The Lord disciplines those he loves. So these people receiving this long letter are told that the things they are having to endure are actually part of that discipline. And it says that they are part of the training for righteousness. So an athlete disciplines themselves and submits to discipline from their coach in order to achieve their goal of winning a race or just improving on the time that they'd run that distance previously. God's training also aims for a goal. It's to produce a harvest of righteousness and peace, as it puts it here in whichever verse that was, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Certainly, athletes these days put themselves through a lot of discomfort in order to hone their fitness and to be able to try and get an edge on the people against whom they're competing. And some of that training really is desperately uncomfortable. I remember Chris Hoy, who you may remember is retired now as a track cyclist, but multi-medal winner at the Olympics. In fact, he was, for a time, Britain's most medalled Olympic athlete. And I remember him describing training sessions at the Manchester Velodrome, where he would put in so much effort that he would then kind of almost collapse off the bike at the end of however many laps he was doing at full effort. And he would curl up on the floor in fetal position because that was the only way to kind of make the pain bearable. and this to win, a gold medal. Or several gold medals in his case. Others were putting themselves through that kind of thing and not actually getting the medal. You know, God's training sometimes is uncomfortable, as these folk have been reminded here. But the goal is actually far greater, far better than a piece of metal, than fame and fortune even. The goal is a harvest of righteousness and peace. And some of that peace comes because the result of that effort, that training in eternity, is life with Jesus. So what a prize that is. And these folk are being reminded that, well, you know, things might be tough. They may get tougher. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, the writer says. We've been told that some of them have been imprisoned, but apparently not yet reached the point of, well, when it says shedding blood, I suspect actually we're talking of martyrdom here, not just, you know, a little bit of blood or something, but actually figuratively martyrdom. They've not got to that point yet. There's an inference that that may come to them. And yet if it does, it's part of that path toward righteousness and toward eternal salvation, eternal life with Jesus. Verse 12, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. That's a direct quotation, really, or a reference to Isaiah 35. In fact, you might like to just turn to Isaiah 35, and you'll see verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. So here in the context of Isaiah, people are being told to encourage one another, really. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. So I think it's an exhortation to help each other. Can I help steady your knees? So we need to be strengthened in our Christian walk. And I think we're going back to the hindrances. You know, verse 1, we're told to throw off everything that hinders. We say, well, you know, think about what things may hinder. Well, spiritual weakness is a hindrance if you're going to endure in the way that these folk are being encouraged to endure. We need to exhort one another, encourage one another to be strong. When somebody's looking a bit wobbly, we can help to strengthen them, to encourage them, to remind them of God's goodness, to remind them of how God will never allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to bear. He'll not put us through anything that we can't cope with, but he'll always equip us to go through whatever comes our way, as long as we keep looking to him. And as we ended this morning with that hymn, trusting in him. You know, we need to do what is necessary to gain spiritual strength. Just to use a kind of another athletic image, one of the things, who watches rugby at all? We haven't got Ian here tonight. I mean, you may have noticed, you know, since rugby union went professional, oh, probably 15, 20 years or more ago now, you look back at the pictures of the players in the 90s, the kind of Will Carling era, and England were doing very well. But you see pictures of now and compare them with pictures of the players these days, and Will Carling and his chaps look rather small. You know, these guys now, you know, they've got arms that are like my legs.
They've strengthened their feeble arms. They're no longer feeble. Their weak knees, well, they're not weak. They're very strong. They've done what is necessary to gain the strength that is required to do what they are called upon to do. And God is, through the writer to Hebrews here, encouraging us to do what we can to be strong and able to deal with whatever comes our way, to be spiritually strong. Though we're not talking about muscular arms and legs, they can come in handy at times, but we're talking about something far more important. We're talking about spiritual strength, spiritual endurance. So some of that strengthening comes by encouraging ourselves, which is kind of the way you naturally read verse 12 here in Hebrews 12. Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. I tend to read that initially as, well, you know, encourage yourself, strengthen yourself. But as we've seen in Isaiah, the inference seems to be, well, strengthen each other, encourage each other. So there's, a call upon us to encourage ourselves, to encourage others with what God has done and what he has promised he will do. And we're also told in verse 13, make level paths for your feet. So what's that about? Well, when we talk of hindrance, rough paths can be a bit of a hindrance to progress, can't they? One of these paths, let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son and my daughters, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So we have the same reference here. Make level paths. And we've got a fixing of gaze directly ahead. It's like that athlete running for the tape. Or it's like us fixing our eyes upon Jesus, as the chorus goes. Look full in his wonderful face, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's an encouragement. That's a way of smoothing the path ahead of us. Just a quote from Revelation 3, verse 19, and it's, it is the letter to church in Laodicea. Thank you, I can't think of the name. It's the letter to the church in Laodicea, who God chastises for being lukewarm. And at the end of that letter he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. You know, repentance is a surefire way of clearing the path, of smoothing the path ahead of us. Let's look a little bit at what the writer says about peace. And in this context, on this occasion, we're not focusing on, directly anyway, peace with God, but on peace with others. Verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Just looking back a couple of verses, another reference to holiness, verse 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. To be holy is to be set apart, different from the run-of-the-mill standard. One way to be different is to be peaceable towards others, that is, to promote harmony in all our relationships. I want to have a look at a few verses in Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There in verse 14 of Hebrews 12, we're encouraged to promote harmony in all our relationships. Verses 15 and 16 there contain examples of sins that destroy harmonious relationships. Two examples quoted, bitterness and sexual immorality, very destructive of relationships. Where those things are going on, harmony is destroyed. And so in verse 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Again, there's a sense of corporate responsibility here for looking after each other and, where necessary, giving each other a prod, because we don't want anybody to miss out on the grace of God. So that if we see a brother or sister slipping away from God's grace, we need to encourage them. We need to point them back to the discipline of God, to the self-discipline, to being holy, to the aim of living in peace with all men, to an attitude that is loving towards the ones that Jesus said were our neighbour, that is, everyone. So it's a passage really that I think there's a lot in there about encouraging one another, really. It's not just focused on God bringing discipline to us, but there is that dual focus on encouraging ourselves and one another, pointing us in the ways of holiness, the ways of peace.